Oh, okay. Let the record show that Representative Pierce, Representative Hudson, Representative Miller, Representative Springer, co-chair, and Chairman Representative Cato are in attendance. I would like to remind all participants to sign the witness register. Our order of business today is to bring up HB 481, an act relating to naming the Woodrow Johansson Expressway. Unfortunately, we don't have a teleconference set up, so maybe we won't have quite so many.
You mean to say unfortunately or fortunately?
So many of those fair things.
Well, let your conscience be your guide. At any rate, I would like to have the sponsor of the bill address the bill.
Okay, I'm not really a sponsor. I think it's a
transportation committee, but the person more.
I'm familiar with
the individual.
Okay, it's a normal deal naming some public facility after somebody, but it's a little bit different than some of them. First, to Woodrow Johansson, in your file there's some bibliographic sketch of bibliographic data as is in the bill. I have known Woody personally and have worked with him in various capacities since 1963, and I'm still in contact with him. Woody is what we used to call the real Alaskan, or the old-timer, or whatever term you want to use nowadays. They ain't too damn many of them around anymore, unfortunately. He knew the old Alaska in the early days when dog teams were something different than the sport. That's what you still used. It's when they still had the old cars and the sleds in the winter, and they were pretty innovative people. They did a heck of a lot for Alaska. And he's seen all the transitions from those early days. He was born down in your neck of the woods down there near Cordova. He comes from an old Cordova family. His brother's still living down there. He moved then in the interior after he worked down there. He worked in the old Kennecott copper mine for a while, and that's where he got acquainted with the railroad business, and he was going to become a railroad engineer, but then that didn't pan out. The Kennecott Copper Company went belly up, and then he went over into the Alaska Road Commission, worked through the Road Commission, was one of the early professors establishing the civil engineering section at the University of Fairbanks, and on and off was there, and then he worked for the Road Commission and the Bureau of Public Roads when the Road Commission was abolished, and it went into the Bureau of Public Roads. He was then dean of the civil engineering section for a while, then went back and made highways his career. He was all through those years in the top management position as district engineer in Fairbanks. I think one thing is there are a lot of people that don't like Woody because he was a tough old guy, but I haven't met anybody yet who didn't respect him. All his deeds and his works, you just have to admire it. He was another person, which we don't have too many around anymore, that as a civil servant, he just did his job. He never did any, as Betty knows, you know him longer than I do, and probably better in a lot of ways. Woody did never any grandstanding. He never was in the involved in politics. He never did any grandstanding. He just done his job, and he done it damn well. I have not encountered any opposition to Woody. I mean, even the other people who spoke in opposition to other bills and stuff like that, that none of them, even the Greenies, didn't have any specific hang-up with Woody as a name and as a person. Shouldn't get recognized in his life's work manifested that way. We were, of course, looking for a project that would be befitting. There were several suggestions made, for example, a building or an airport or something like that. Last testimony on the Mitchell Highway, we heard little parks here and there or green strips or something like that, and my answer to that was parks for greenies, concrete, and asphalt for engineers. And that's what we're trying to do. So We tried to pick something that isn't controversial, and it looked like every time we pick something that's already either has a name or a designation or something, it becomes controversial. So we looked at something that isn't even built yet, that is past the conceptual stage, that's all finished. The planning is finished. We have, if everything goes according to Holly, we've got 3 segments coming up. One of them is ready for construction. The other one is in the funding stage, and the last segment in the location and design stage. So there, that achieves 2 other things. And as a spin-off, number one, there's no cost involved with it. We don't have to remove signs or change signs or anything. So that's a good aspect of it. The second thing is the name recognition comes right from the start. We have invariably seen when something already, there's some usage on it and you re-designate it, population in a lot of cases doesn't accept it. I've never heard anybody call the Yukon River Bridge the Paddle Bridge yet. It's just the Yukon River Bridge, you know. Some things are very hard to change even if you make it into law. People just don't do it. The third thing is, we had heard a lot of criticism about confusion and duplication and stuff like that. In the absence of any through route or anything there, there isn't any confusion what it is. It's a local connector road between 2 major highways, or the Geist Road, if you want to call that a major highway. And it's going to be a controlled access road, so the name in itself doesn't confuse anybody. That's about all I have to say. I did not have a hold a public hearing or anything. I didn't detect any controversy anywhere. I talked to the mayor of the city of Fairbanks, Wally. I talked to the borough mayor, Juanita Helms, and they didn't know anybody would be opposed, except that Juanita Helms thought that she wanted to consult with Ms. Baker, Nancy Lee Baker, which we have had on teleconference before. I did get a hold of her. I talked to her in length. She said she didn't have any feeling one way or another on it yet. She hasn't studied it out, but in principle she didn't have any problem with Woody as a person. The only thing thought maybe in that case we're moving too early, you know, but she didn't have any good reason too early, and she certainly accepted the fact that it would avoid cost and that in that specific case it doesn't create a problem with duplication of naming. I also talked to Commissioner Hickey, I talked to Deputy Commissioner Harnish. I had it run by the governor's office to find out if there are any problems up there. They have no problems with it, so I have failed to detect any opposition.
Okay, thank you very much, Representative Springer. Does anyone have any, is there any discussion on the bill? It's before you. Any questions, Mr. Springer, Representative?
No questions, Madam Chair. We heard teleconference the other day, and I thought, for the most part, even those people that were not in favor of it were not in conflict with Willie Johansson. It was just that they had some other idea of what should be selected. So I think it's a matter of choice, and this seems to be a good one.
Any further comments from the committee? If not, the chair would entertain a motion to move the bill up committee. Representative Miller.
Madam Chairman, I'd move that we move HB 481 out of transportation with individual recommendation.
Representative Miller has moved that we move 481 out of committee with individual recommendations. Is there any objection? If not, so ordered. There you go, through that one.
Yes. Yeah, on the second segment. Overpass better than underpass. With snow removal, you can certainly snow down on the railroad.
The railroad painted.
Okay.
We have before us HB 485, which I'm the prime sponsor of it, and so. At this point in time, I'd like to pass the gavel to Representative Springer. Prior to that, actually what I would like to do is give the committee substitute adopted, because that's what I wish to speak to.
Okay.
Is there any objection to adopting the committee substitute for discussion on 485? No objection. Okay, then that's what we will speak to. Representative Springer, would you take the chair? Do my little job.
Okay.
You have before you some backup on the railroad, on the bill. And if you'll notice the tabs in here, the tab B-17 talks about the murky area that this bill is going to attempt to clarify. It's the paperclip, actually, not the tab. The paperclip. Then the other paperclip had to do with the reversion clauses. And one thing that this backup does, it clarifies a great many of things that people like to question on as far as the railroad is concerned. And I think all of you will find it very useful at other times for you, more than just this time. I think it's a master job of putting backup together. I've introduced HB 485, an act amending provisions relating to the solicitation for offers to the purchase or operation of the Alaska Railroad and providing for an effective date, to clarify some questions regarding the Alaska Railroad Corporation Act. On July 6, 1984, the sponsor committee substitute for the committee substitute for HB 512 finance was signed into law. This act established the Alaska Railroad Corporation to manage and operate the Alaska Railroad. The corporation officially took over this responsibility on January 6, 1985, one day after the Alaska Railroad was transferred to state ownership. The state of Alaska purchased the Alaska Railroad for $22.3 million. An additional $10.9 million was appropriated by the legislature for operating capital expenses. This value was derived by determining A, the present value of the railroad is not operating real estate. This was valued in that report at that time at $47.8 million. The present value of continuing rail operations beyond 10 years in perpetuity, including startup costs. This amount was to be a negative value of 25.5, and that's how we arrived at the 22.3. Questions concerning the reversion clause, both the state and federal act, often arise. Section 610, and that's that second deal that you have, Title 6 of the Federal Alaska Transfer Act states, if within 10 years after the date of transfer to the state, any or all the real property transferred to the state is converted to a use that would prevent the state-owned railroad from continuing to operate, that real property, including permanent improvements to the property, shall revert to the United States government, or the state shall pay to the United States government an amount determined to be fair market value at the time of the conversion. That could make a great deal of difference of what the state could lose for what other than what they paid for it. If within 5 years after the date of transfer, the state sells or transfers all or substantially all state-owned railroads to an entity other than an instrumentality of the state, the proceeds from the sale and transfer that exceed the cost of any rehabilitation improvements made by the state and any net liabilities incurred by the state shall be paid into the general fund of the Treasury of the United States. Interesting, isn't it? The Federal Reversion Clause also provides for reversion requirements if the state discontinues use of right-of-way land or lands which lie within the boundaries of the Denali State Park, Chugach National Forest boundaries. These are the federal reversion requirements. The Alaska Railroad Act, Section 424260B, states, every 5 years, the annual report of the Alaska Railroad Corporation shall include an analysis of potential sales arrangement whereby the corporation may be transferred into private ownership. The analysis shall include documentation of at least three offers to sell the corporation initiated by the corporation during the last 5 years. This is the murky section that we're talking about. Committee substitute House Bill 485 Transportation deletes the requirement for the analysis to include documentation of at least three offers to sell the corporation. Railroad management has stated several corporations have expressed an interest in purchasing the Alaska Railroad. To date, no formal requests for proposals have been requested by the corporation. By deleting the requirement to document at least three offers to sell the corporation, we are open to consider all offers. In order to determine whether or not we would consider certain offers, We need to know what sorts of offers are out there. Many times in negotiating such sales, we limit ourselves to a narrow criteria we feel we need to meet. Instead, this would allow us to virtually say, bring all offers you have received in the last 5 years to us for consideration. While one particular offer may not meet some of the narrow criteria we initially thought was necessary, it may offer several valuable alternatives we had not considered. As the Alaska Railroad is a valuable in-state transportation mode, we need to not only look at the bottom line, but we must also look at in-state transportation needs and alternatives. We must consider if any proposed sale is truly in the state's best interest overall. To do this, we need to evaluate any and all offers and weigh the advantages and disadvantages in all areas. HB 485 provides us this opportunity. The original Transfer Act requires an analysis for potential sale arrangements to be considered within 5 years of the transfer date. House Bill 485 essentially broadens the language to allow us to consider all offers received within the five-year period. I feel this will enable us to properly evaluate potential sale offers in all areas and thus make a decision that is in the state's best transportation and financial interest. Thank you for listening. I urge your support. 485. CS for House Bill 485.
I think we open it up to discussion at that point, So you're finished with your presentation.
Yeah.
Okay, any discussion on it?
Yes. Chair, Representative, to the sponsor, Betty, this must be a satisfactory amendment to the Railroad Corporation. That they would support this, don't you?
We have a member of the Railroad Corporation Board here to testify.
I think it's pretty straightforward. I'd just like to hear them, that's it.
Any other questions or discussion? Okay, so then I turn the gavel over to you.
Thank you. All right, we have Jerry Valensky, a member of the Railroad Corporation Board here. He would like to testify. Come up. Give your name and address for the committee minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Gerald Valensky. I am a member of the Alaska Rail Corporation Board of Directors. I have been since October of 1984, and have recently been reappointed again October of 87. My association with the Alaska Railroad goes all the way back to 1974 when I hired out as a trainman, which I still am then, an operator conductor. My background as far as the transfer of the Alaska Railroad goes back to the federal days, representing the employees, and then very active when we created the Corporation Act, as far as the labor relations in the Corporate Act. And so through that, I gained a tremendous amount of knowledge in what we were trying to do here, and I'm very pleased with what came out of that session. But speaking to HB 485, I can tell you right now that the board does endorse this. It cleans up an area that's been very ambiguous for us. We've been struggling with this situation for the last 2 years, as Betty knows and other members of this committee, that the second sentence, what is it telling us to do? I have a little laundry list of potential things that could have had us do, soliciting three offers. I don't know, Betty, you put that in the packet.
No. Sorry we didn't get it in there. We got kind of pushed at the
plate. I think I got enough copies for all the numbers.
Yeah, that's when we were going to pass it out, when you testify.
I'd like to say, you know, starting off on this too also, is that we don't want to misunderstand the board, that the board is opposed to the transfer of the Alaska Railroad to a private company or entity that to operate or manage or own it. It's just that it's done as the caretakers, which you are too, that it's, there's some sense in how we go about this. If you remember, there's a lot of struggling with the federal government on how they did it. As far as reporting what you've done here in the first 5 years, any sale agreements that come before the corporation, would be analyzed and put into your annual report and delivered to you in 1990. And then we feel it's your responsibility to evaluate those offers and then make the decision and set the terms and conditions for us to proceed if that's the desire of the legislature. But just as I was saying, if you could, with the rest of the amount, the part that's being deleted, we felt to do this right, and like I said here with this list, these were hoops that we felt we would end up having to jump through prematurely when we didn't have a sure thing as far as a sale and doing a reputable job of it. And as you can see, this is kind of an outline for the numerous things the federal government had to jump through. These things would all come in the proper time. But first, I think we need, as the legislation says, we need to bring to you whatever these offers are for you to first to evaluate. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Hudson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. General, have you received any interest whatsoever from private sources?
We have had, to my knowledge, a couple letters of vague interest. Is the railroad for sale? Yes, it is. It's part of the statute. It's from the day of transfer. It's for all practical purposes. It's in the legislation. It is for sale. Just curiosity, what type of operation? You'd be surprised. Some people don't realize that we don't shut down the state in the winter, you know, from entities. Buying and selling railroads is a big business these days for numerous reasons. But I think by 1990 that we will have a couple of offers to deliver to you in the annual report. Whether they'll be in the best interest of the state, that's not for me to judge. It's for me to put it together for you, analyze what they've offered, and then the shoe's back in your doorstep.
A follow-up. Are there restrictions on the offer to sell as to foreign ownership or foreign acquisition?
None that I'm aware of. No, whoever's got the most zeros, I guess, behind the first number.
You know, I'm totally new to this, Chair. It's the second year here. I haven't been involved in the railroad so much as I have some other transportation aspects. But, you know, there are certain positives to being able to tell the railroad to who they can hire and where they should buy from and many of these kind of things. And I think that you know, while we like to see privatization to the extent possible, when it's cost effective, we can deliver services and we operate them cheaper. I hope that this committee at any rate always kind of keeps in mind that we do sort of have a handle on this operation, albeit a little bit of distance now. So I just wanted to record to reflect that that's going through my mind a little bit too. That has nothing to do with the amendment or the committee substitute here, which I support.
Representative Springer.
Also, just an educational question. You can sell the railroad as a whole or not at all. Is that right? Or can you make partial sales?
Well, that in that offer in 1990 in the annual report, whatever offers are made to us, either be partial or whole or what have you, will be in that annual report to you. And then it will be your decision on whether it's a reputable offer or not, whether it fits the state's needs or not.
That's the reason. The reason I'm asking, of course, is the matter you discussed with the market value. And right now, the market value of real estate is really depressed all over, and that would be, from that standpoint, a pretty opportune time for some operational investors to pick a time like that, you know, compared with 3 or 4 years ago. And that's especially true in the holdings the Alaska Railroad has to the urban centers, you know, like down through Anchorage. And so
mm-hmm. Very much so.
Thank you.
Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One of the beauties of this, to kind of answer your concern and yours too, is that with the latitude that we're giving the railroad here and taking away this ambiguous sentence that nobody has ever been able to read for sure what it says or what it was even intended to say, we are telling the railroad that we want to hear about the solicitations that they've gotten, and they have gotten a few nibbles of interest, and we will hear about those, and then in the reports every 5 years, they will tell us, give us an analysis of all of those, and I suspect that if they happen to get a really good one that the board agrees is wonderful, they're going to bring it straight to the governor and the legislature and say, hey, we ought to look at this immediately. But by doing this, then we get to look at the report, see what was there, and decide amongst ourselves if there's one we'd like them to pursue. It wouldn't take another piece of legislation to tell them to go ahead and look at that. We could probably either just, the governor could say, continue looking at that, because it, he definitely has that right under the present statutes. Or we could even do a resolution, a simple resolution, saying that the House or the Senate or the body is interested in having the railroad pursue X. But we don't have to deal with doing another entire bill. And that's why I think that this is going to make life a lot easier for all of us. And I too support it.
Let the record show that Representative Boucher joined us.
Sure.
Representative Boucher, we have a committee.
You showed up. That's what you was going to say.
I said joined us. You've never heard me say showed up.
Showed up.
Wasn't that on the tip of your lip?
We're discussing the committee substitute for House Bill 485, Transportation, having to do with the annual report and the selling of the Railroad Corporation. They're selling the Alaska Railroad. And the annual report of the Alaska Railroad Corporation, attempting to, Representative Boucher, to clear up that murky area in the Section B. And we've adopted the committee substitute for House Bill 485. And what you've just been hearing is some remarks on it. Are there any more questions of, I guess it's Commissioner Valensky, isn't it?
I
thought it was Railroad Commission. No, it's Corporation. Okay. Corporate Mr. Valensky. Are there any other questions of him?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the bill? If not, then the chair would entertain a motion to move the bill out of committee. Representative Pierce has moved that we move an act relating to the committee substitute for House Bill number 485, Transportation, out of committee with individual recommendations. Is there any objection? If there is none, so ordered. Is there any further business to come before the committee? Don't one of you dare leave before you sign both bills.
Madam Chairman, I'd just like to put on record that I very much appreciate your listening to my concerns on this bill and accommodating.
This is the day for the minority and the majority.
I know, everybody.
Because I love it. That preacher made a powerful prayer. That's
yes,
why.
You're right. And I'm going to want to check the stars. You know, we've had these confrontation planets out there. Maybe they slipped out from underneath.
Well, don't call it cool out. It ain't evening yet.
Is there any further business coming before the Transportation Committee today? If not,
Madam Chair, may I have
yes.
This is Wendy Gray.
Thank you.
Wendy and Janet.